Hi, this is Joe Stagner. Welcome to this, the first in a series of videos on ASP.NET Dynamic Data. Dynamic Data recently shipped with .NET 3.5 Service Pack 1 and Visual Studio 2008 Service Pack 1. One of the places that you can get started on gaining information about ASP.NET Dynamic Data is to go to our website at www.asp.net/dynamicdata. And in fact, the first collection of videos in this series will be replacements for the videos that already appear on the ASP.NET Dynamic Data website, but were built with preview versions of the Dynamic Data technology. Having said that, the first thing that I want you to understand is how to detect whether or not you're working with the full RTM, the release version of Dynamic Data. And this is very important because there have been a collection of breaking changes between the CTP and preview versions of Dynamic Data and the actual release version of Dynamic Data. So to demonstrate this, I'm going to fire up Visual Web Developer Express, and what I'm about to tell you holds true in both Visual Studio and Visual Web Developer. However, it's important to understand that you need to download different files to update Visual Studio versus Visual Web Developer Express. So if you go to the MSDN website and you download the SP1 installer for Visual Studio, so Visual Studio Standard, Visual Studio Pro, Visual Studio Team System, it will not update your Visual Web Developer 2008 instance. So in order to update your Visual Web Developer instance, you need to go to Microsoft.com/express and download the latest installer for Visual Web Developer. If you have both on your machine, both Visual Studio and Visual Web Developer Express, you have to run both installers, the Visual Studio installer and the Visual Web Developer installer, to update to SP1. And that's really important because I've gotten some email from folks that are confused. They have both running on their machine, and they can't understand why they call up one or the other, usually Visual Studio, Visual Web Developer Express, and the dynamic data projects don't seem to work. Right? So just to be really clear, if you want to update Visual Studio 2008 Standard Pro Team System, go to the MSDN Visual Studio site and download the SP1 installer for Visual Studio. If you want to update Visual Web Developer Express 2008 to be SP1, go to Microsoft.com WAC Express, download the installer just as though you were installing it from scratch, run that installer, and it will detect that you're upgrading an existing install. Okay, hopefully that's clear. So now we're going to say create a new website, and what you'll notice here is that there are a couple of new project templates here. One is Dynamic Data Entities website, and the other is Dynamic Data website. As I mentioned, the first few videos in this series are going to be replacements for the existing ones, so we're going to cover Dynamic Data Entities websites in subsequent videos. For the purpose of this and the next few videos, we're going to be focusing on the Dynamic Data website template type. Right. So a couple of things that you want to be sure of here when you're checking to make sure that you're using the RTM version of SP1 for .NET 3.5. The first thing is you want to make sure that there is no preview or CTP in parentheses after the name of the template type. So if you see Dynamic Data website preview or CTP in parentheses after it, then you're not using the RTM version, and you need to uninstall what you've got and install the latest version. The other thing that's very important, this is a little bit more subtle, if you have these two template types, Dynamic Data Entities website and Dynamic Data website, and then you have another entry for Dynamic Data website, so you have two Dynamic Data website templates, you probably have a preview version installed and you'll want to get rid of it. One of the other things that you want to check is this icon. You want to make sure that the icon in your Dynamic Data website template is exactly the same as the one that you're looking at here in this webcast. If it's different, then that means that you're using a preview version and you want to uninstall it and get the latest version. So even if it doesn't say preview after your template name, if this icon is not exactly like the one that you're looking at here on the screen, then your installation of Dynamic Data is probably a preview version. And of course, if you're a C# developer, the icon is a little bit different, but the graphics behind the icon are the same. Still that globe and the golden database and lightning bolts. So in C#, same thing. If your icon doesn't look exactly like this one, you want to uninstall the preview version that you're using and get the RTM version. Okay, now having done that, we're going to get started with our first Dynamic Data application by generating some scaffolding. So I'm going to select the dynamic data website project type and create our project. Now, I want to really caution folks, really don't look at code generation and dynamic data and assume that that's what it is. So I've had a lot of folks that passed up doing some discovery on dynamic data because they saw a simple code generation demo and said, oh, I don't like code generation because it's not what I need. I need to write things from scratch. So there are a couple of things to know about this. First of all, as I'm going to show you, although there's code generated here, the code is massively flexible. So you can basically update every single detail about how your application works and how the data appears and what the visual artifacts look like. So it's not the old style code generation where you sort of got what you got and that was it. The other thing is that you can use the code generation with dynamic data or not. Code generation is just one feature of the dynamic data technology. So you can choose to generate all of the application to get started with, or you can choose not to generate it at all, still creating a new project of type dynamic data, but you're going to write all the code from scratch. Or you can even integrate dynamic data into your existing application, so no code generation at all, just using what is the real power of dynamic data, and that is the dynamic data page and field templates, which we're going to talk about in just a second here. So if we look at what we've got generated here in our Solutions Explorer, the first thing you'll notice is there's a global.asax file, and normally those aren't generated by default for you, but in our case they are because dynamic data is going to depend on some of the settings that are there in the global.asax file. The other thing is we have this dynamic data directory, and if we expand all the subdirectories there, we'll take a quick look at what's actually created for us in these directories. So the first thing we're going to look at is this section called Page Templates. And if we note here, notice that there's a page template for each of sort of the expected set of pages that might be used in a data-based application. So notice we have a list here and a details page. So we have a list page, a details page, a list details page. So if we want to see, if we want a sort of a master detail view in a single page, that's generated for us. And then we have insert and delete pages, which are common database functions that we're probably interested in having in our application. And these are just templates. So remember, we haven't selected any database yet. Right? So we're not, this is not database specific. This is a highly templated model for implementing our application. If we go down and actually look at one of these, let's just look at the list page. Right? And again, notice the header here, table.displayName, right? So this is just a pretty straightforward template, right? So here we're having, notice where some of the data is going to get injected here, table.getActionPath. So this is highly templated. We haven't even selected a database we're going to use, so we haven't even tried to infer the schema of the data that we're going to be using. And hopefully what that illustrates to you is how really dynamic this is going to be, that this templating mechanism is provided before we've even selected the schema that we're going to be programming against. Right? So the next thing that we're going to look at really quickly, and again, we're going to drill down into modifying these each of these types of files throughout this video series. So all these page templates, we can modify them, we can create new ones that are used for specific tables in our schema, so we don't have to use the same list view for every table in our database. We can use different ones for each table if we want to. Next, we're going to look at field templates. Now, if we look at this field templates collection of files in the field templates directory that is generated for us by our dynamic data project type, notice we've got fields for text, integer, decimal, date time, boolean, and for many of these we have one for text and then one for text underscore edit, right? So in this case for the text fields, the text.asex is for viewing a text field in a non-editable fashion, and the text underscore edit is for the edit experience for that particular field. And again, these are templates, so we can do some interesting things with this. We can modify one of the text templates to change how a text box gets displayed anywhere in our application. Or if for a particular form or a particular table, we want to, just for that form or table, we want to change how a text field is displayed, we can add a custom control and use it selectively wherever we want and fall back to the default text field templates wherever we don't want to customize how a text field gets handled. So again, super, super configurable at the very granular level. Let's go ahead and look at just one of those. So notice here, all we're doing here is in the text field, is we're just saying this is our control template. It's an ASCX file, so you might derive sort of that this is built on the standard ASP.NET controls mechanism. And then we're just saying this is a literal, right? And we're getting the value out of whatever the field that we're displaying is. So again, very dynamic. And it's literal because even though it's a text field, this is just displaying. If we look at the edit model, notice here again our custom control. Little Visual Studio glitch there. So here, if we look at the custom control, we've got our text box, but we're also adding required field validator, regular expression validator, and a dynamic validator control extender. So we're getting this custom, we're getting this custom behavior, but we can add to this, all right? So we can, we can basically display editable text boxes any way that we want because we're using this template mechanism. Now, so we've got what we've got so far. Also, you'll note that there are no custom pages. So one of the things that we can do is we don't want to use the defaults. We can create custom pages to display anything that we want. The other thing is we've got some generalized content here. So we've got a bunch of images for page navigation when we start to display things. We have a control for grid view and a control for filter. And this is just sort of basic content that's used by the templates in our project. So the next thing that we're going to need to do is we're going to need to add some data to our application. So I'm going to go out to my desktop and I'm going to grab an instance of the Northwind database and I'm going to drop it into my app_data folder. And I'm using SQL Express here with a local instance just for convenience sake so I can distribute it to you, but obviously you can go against any database that you can connect to through link to SQL. And the reason that you need to be able to access it through link to SQL is that we need an API for our code to access the database. So to get that, we're going to say add a new item. Oops, and we're going to do that not on app data, but on my project. And then I'm going to say link to SQL classes, and we're going against the Northwind database, so let's call it Northwind. And this is just a message that says where you're trying to add a special file. It's a link to SQL classes file, and this is code. So to be generally accessible throughout your project, this really should go in the app_code folder. So I'll say yes, and that's where it will be placed. Notice here we get the Northwind DBML dialog where it's going to let us choose some tables that we want to insert there, and we will do that momentarily. One of the things you want to note here is that there's this Northwind Designer VB file, which basically is the entry point for our Northwind link to SQL class. Now, one of the things you want to note here is notice all of these. There's this collection of extensible methods that get generated. We're going to cover these in working with these in previous videos, but you just want to know that they exist. The other thing that we want to know about is the name of this class. This is our data context. So Northwind data context happens to be the name. Note that it's dynamically generated. So we said that this link to SQL class, when we created this, we named it Northwind, Northwind.dbml, and the class name is derived from the name that we choose. In our case, the class name is Northwind data context. Now we actually need some data in our data access layer. So let's go over to the Database Explorer. Let's open the Northwind database that we have just included, find the tables collection, and let's choose some tables. So let's say, how about orders, order details, products, suppliers, and customers, and categories. I'm going to drag those all over and drop them into my Northwind DBML. And you'll see that we have a schema-based representation of the data as we've configured it. Now, not only are all the fields in each of these tables now available, but the relationships between the tables are visualized as well. This is important because one of the things that when we build a data-driven application from scratch that we spend time with is writing the code to handle the logic behind all of the foreign keys, for example, and how those how the data that exists in related tables gets managed inside our application. So we're going to see how this gets done for us by default using dynamic data. So let's go ahead and save that. And then I'm going to hop back over to Solutions Explorer. This has just been telling me that designer.vb has been modified outside of the editor. We looked at it inside. We looked at the code inside the editor. But now that we've included the tables in our data access layer, that had to be updated. Right. So now notice if we expand that extensibility method section, notice all of these extensible methods. Right. Insert order, update order, delete order. Insert order detail for the order detail table. You notice this collection has been added for each of the tables that we included. Notice these are partial classes. So in a subsequent video, I'll show you why it's really important that dynamic data uses partial classes so that we can add customized behavior without having to muck with the code that gets generated. And this makes this dynamic. So if I later want to go add a table to this, I don't have to go reintegrate all my custom code. I'm going to do my custom programming in the other part of the class definition. Right. So if that doesn't make sense to you because you're new to partial classes, don't worry. Keep watching the videos, and you'll get all the details in a forthcoming video. All right, so a couple things we need to do before we can really fire up the application that we're building. Remember we said that the name of our class was Northwind Data Context. And I'm going to copy that name because we're going to need to use it. So let's now go down to our global.asax file. We're going to scroll down here a little bit, and I'm going to find this place where there's a commented out method called to model dot register context. And so notice I've uncommented that so that method call is live, but it says your data context where in the get type section. And of course, that's just a placeholder. We want to enter Northwind data context there. That's the name of our data context. Also, if we scroll all the way to the right, you'll see this section that says with dot scaffold all tables equal false. Now it's false by default because you might not want to generate all of the scaffolding for the entire schema that you've included. It might be that you're going to do that yourself. You're still going to use a dynamic data project, but you don't want to generate the scaffolding. And this is important sort of to underline what I said earlier that the code generation portion of dynamic data is just one part of the technology that's available. So in our case, just for the purposes of this demo, we're going to set that equal to true so that the dynamic data runtime will generate all of the scaffolding for us. And with that, I'm going to save our global ASAX, and we're going to run the project. And we're going to modify the web.config for debugging. And voila, notice we have a fully running application. So here are the table names. Now notice it's using the table names here, but again, all of this is completely configurable. So if you keep watching the video series, you'll see how we can override basically any set of details that we want to. Let's go look at the drill down into orders. Now some interesting thing to note here. So note, we've got this default visual representation here. This happens because there's a CSS file that's built for us. So the styling is all picked up from that CSS file, and you're free to go into that CSS file and make this list display and the rest of the forms look exactly the way that you want. Now, a couple of other things to note here. Notice is built-in filtering. So based on customers, so we're looking at the orders table. And orders are by customer. So rather than look at all of the orders, we want to drill down and look at orders for a specific customer. Notice that's a foreign key to an order. So we're looking at the orders table, and the customer that order pertains to is a key reference to the customer's table. But dynamic data is smart enough to say, hey, don't show the key, just don't show the key numbers, the customer numbers. Actually, resolve that number to the name file and to the name field. And there are a set of rules by which those derivations take place, and they're all overridable. So if your tables aren't necessarily conducive to this sort of influence, you can specify how you want that inference to take place. Right. If we scroll over here a little bit, notice, again, the customer for this particular order. Rather than have the customer number, we derive the name from a lookup in the customer's table itself. We can drill down into the customer if we want to. We can drill down into order detail, right? And we can say, notice we get edit, delete set up for us here. I can say I want to edit the edit this, for example. Right, so drill down into the product if I want to. So let's drill down into that product. Right. Notice we're getting a separate form. Now, maybe you don't want to do that. Maybe you want to do inline editing. I'll show you that in a subsequent video, one of the next couple. But the idea here is we get really just a rich, rich set of data that's available. Let's click Edit here. And again, here we are. Now, one of the things to note here is that where the data is a field that's represented by a field in another database and resolvable by a foreign key, instead of having to enter that either as the reference number or in text, we get a fully populated drop-down list so we can choose from the existing values. Right? So customer is probably not something that you want the user to enter on the fly, so we're going to give them this drop-down list to select from the existing customers. And you know, the thing to note here is I didn't do any coding, right? We built this application, apart from my explanation, we built this whole application in just a matter of seconds. So really powerful way to get started. Not just to sort of, do quickie applications to enter or edit data, although it's very useful for that, but also as the basis for the application that you'll deploy in production. Another thing to note here is, let's go in and edit here. Now, another thing to note here is the URL. Now notice this part here up to website. This is just my the URL. But notice orders. We're in the orders table. Edit.aspx. Edit is the function. Order ID equals, and this is the order ID that we're currently editing. Right. So another thing that I'll show you in a subsequent video, just to sort of try and whet your appetite a little bit, is if we stop this running application and we go back into our global.asax file, one of the things that you note down here is notice there's a collection of routing functionality, right? So this is the one that we have defined, and you see it says the table. So the route, the URL, is a product of this formatting, the table, the action.aspx. You'll see here that there are other routing options as well. So one of the things that's starting to be pervasive in ASP.NET's newer technologies is this concept of routing to create user-friendly URLs. And this is actually the same routing engine that's used in ASP.NET MVC, which is under development as well. So there's a lot of rich dynamic functionality that's coming with dynamic data. So hopefully, that's just a really quick introduction that gave you some hints to make sure that you're using the latest version, how to generate the basics of an application, include the database tables that you're interested in, turn on scaffolding and wire up your data context with the template that's generated for you when you first create this project, and now you can build your own and get the default implementation and start to navigate to sort of dig under the covers and see how this stuff works. Then we can move forward. Hopefully you'll be watching the subsequent videos, and we'll start to drill into the details of how to manipulate all of this stuff to get your dynamic data application to look and feel and work exactly the way that you want.